Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rhema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind. Stay tuned for a special message from Elder LaVon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rhema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaigns. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaigns.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaigns.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Good evening. Thank you for listening to the Rhema Remnant Radio program. If you're listening by the internet and you need to get off the internet for some reason, you can always dial in 646-595-4877. Again, that's 646-595-4877. We're going to be discussing a new lesson called the Spirit of Conviction. It's just a fundamental teaching, viewing the fundamentals, and we're going to find out five basic things you should know about the power of the Spirit. Let's look to the Father and ask the Holy Spirit for his assistance tonight's liberation. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made, and we rejoice and are glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in the Spirit and in truth. It is the authority of your word that gives me the privilege to make known the bold mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as I ought to tonight. I lean and depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide, who gives me clear articulation of speech, deliberation of thought, and continuity of subjectivity to make known the manifold rhythms of the Spirit. I do yield my members to obey what the Spirit has to say to the church. I ask that the Holy Spirit would have his way, that he would anoint the ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have to say this evening. So, Father, in everything, you be glorified for the things that shall be accomplished and revealed. It is in the name of Jesus that we do praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The Spirit of Conviction. Five things that you should know about the power of the Spirit. The purpose is to make relevant the Spirit-led life and affirm truth. The goal is to spark conviction and transmit wisdom. And our doctrinal thread is reviewing the role of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and his method of operation. John 16, 12 through 15, serves as a clear definition of the role of the Holy Spirit. And John 14, 16 through 21 is the focus which we get from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would encourage you to look at those two passages, and I know that they will help shape your understanding on the importance of the Spirit-led life. The Spirit of conviction, five things you should know about the Spirit. It is obviously that we live in a world that has lost sight of their convictions. That is why the renewal of the mind, according to Romans 12:1-3, is so vital for everyone who claims faith. The goal of theology, our perpetual pursuit to know the things of God, is to create a knowledge base within a believer in Christ that is coherent and comprehensive, expressing the will, way, wisdom, wonders, and words of God, so that instinctively, absolute truths and Christ acknowledged resolves for the sake of conviction creates a standard and state of righteous living and Christ-like character. I know it's a broad statement, but it's food for thought. I ask you briefly to think about what state your convictions are in and what motivating forces help remind or perhaps alter your courses of actions. If the first answer for you as a Christian is not the Holy Spirit whom the Lord Jesus has sent, then perhaps you are shooting yourself in the foot when it comes to attempting to personify Christianity. Don't be discouraged by my bluntness. There is hope and a way of escape. And this is a resolve to the road of true transparency. Give yourself completely to God, expressing your heart to Him and then hearing Him and responding by sincere compliance. Convictions are beliefs that are fixed within the conscience of people to serve primary sources of judgment when it comes to personal lifestyle. The Bible serves as a validated basis to establish core convictions that can alter all forms of negativity and benefit you from within the Word of God. When a person looks into the perfect law of liberty, the Bible says in James 1:25, they are automatically empowered for the common good. Some convictions are instinctive, the primary knowledge of right and wrong. But the world has a way of creating webs of false realities, drama, and more drama that demands introspection occasionally to points of affirmation concerning what you believe. First, we must understand that what you believe will be displayed by your actions, not merely words. Professions of truth is not acceptance of truth. Beliefs are always seen first in behavior. Then, if you are set on living a Christian life, it is the expectation for your lifestyle to pattern the one that leads you. Keep asking yourself, will Jesus live like you? My new quote for the church is this: the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, not suggested by the Lord. If I were to go as far left, I would tell you to not profess that you believe something if you're not complying with the words that you say you believe. Thirdly, it is a tragedy to nullify your own voice conviction, but don't voice anything you can't live, especially preachers. Live what you preach. All these scandals are getting too old. If you are in the forefront of the church, act like it or leave it alone. Don't live by others' convictions, but we as ministers are obligated to live by His conviction. We signed up for this. It is the role of the Holy Spirit to point us to a greater reality called truth. The Spirit is the intelligence of God, not just charismatically. We should see Him in light of how the Spirit is portrayed in the Scripture. He is given five distinct functions by Jesus. What he will do is described vividly in John 16:12-15. If these traits are not evident in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, then you are being influenced by another. I want to point out five brief things about the Spirit, and it is my prayer that you will develop the conviction needed to resolve in trusting God. In the next lesson, I will discuss more on the role of the Spirit and bring emphasis on how we can personify our conviction. I was reading a letter of a minister attempting to justify his quote-unquote coming out with the basis of the Holy Spirit leading him to be transparent or truthful concerning his sexual preference. He further in the letter resigns from the pastorate because of his knowledge of the church's low tolerance of the accepted lifestyle paraded in the leadership of the church. I was truly glad that he had the guts to step down. It was a little strange how he spread the rumor of almost incriminating himself about being a homosexual. And a special note, call a spade a spade. Don't make it seem like people made you hide what you truly believe. If your convictions are yours, own them. Stop making excuses of being safe, passive, or even stupid. No one should have that much power of making you not true to yourself. Not even God avoids demands that you avoid resorting to truth or taking ownership of what you've created. Some Christians took it upon themselves in this letter after he addressed it to them to cover up the mess he openly gave to subjects of opinion. I see a great evil. They say don't be judgmental. No one told him to broadcast his personal information. And every Christian that is led by the Spirit has the God-given right to judge anything according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. We are anointed for clarity, keeping things clear in the air, and God has graced us with the power to keep us from falling. So we have no possible excuses, and we need to come to this resolve. We will resort to the Holy Spirit when we resort to the Holy Spirit, whom God has sent to lead us righteously. Righteousness will occur. In the next few lessons, we will dialogue about conviction, which is the root issue of embracing godly character for living. Five quick points about the power of the Spirit. Number one, the Spirit of God is robed in transforming and transfiguring power. The power is activated in our lives to reinforce the purpose to which we are all fashioned for. Two major results will happen when the power of the Spirit is effectuated in our lives. Elevation in life's legacy and our language, with an emphasis on communicating according to God's standards. Secondly, the Spirit of God is righteously prone. Because the Spirit of God is the nature of God, becoming spiritual is a righteous resolve to self-discipline and devotion to the things of God. Thirdly, the Spirit of God is a reverser of the curse of the sinful life. Its nature being righteous and he being created to reveal truth makes him an expert on not only identifying what truly sin is, which is to come short, but how to make a clear resolve. If the Spirit can't teach us to live right, then the purpose of the Spirit of God, whom he sent to lead us, is nullified. Fourthly, the Spirit of God is released to the hearts of mankind. Proverbs 20, 27 and Proverbs 18, 28 justify that claim. God has created us to instinctively adapt to his sovereign will. It is our choice to comply, but the rewards are boundless. God enables us to achieve states of righteousness. This is key because many feel that righteousness is ideology, when in essence it is the working of divine grace. Fifthly and finally, the Spirit of God is responsible for initiating the meaning of true worship. He will respect our free will to choose whatever path, yet when we allow him to lead us, this will result in trusting God. For further studies, I will refer you to John 4, 20, verses 20 through 24, 1 John 5, verses 5 through 7, Ephesians 1, 13, Ephesians 5, 9, 2 Thessalonians 2, 13, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22. Thank you for listening to tonight. I know it was brief, but I wanted to make it clear on some facts we must know about the power of the Spirit. And it is my prayer that as we begin to talk about true conviction, that each of you as ministers of the gospel will take occasionally introspections of what you truly believe and manifest what you possess. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, because I believe that your word did not fall on deaf ears, but it accomplished that which you have sent it to do. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to give your people the necessary means to come to the point of conviction that affirms and affixes their belief system so that they can be in sync with your sovereign will and manifest your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I pray for every minister under the sound of my voice that has heard the brief word mentioned above. I pray that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding would flood their hearts, that they would come into a personal relationship with you and know the truths and the mysterious gospel that has been given from all ages. Make yourself known through divine wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and let them ascertain it so that your people may grow for the purposes for which you have called them to grow thereby. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, and I praise you because of the anointing that's on your word. You sent your word and you caused restoration to be upon your people. So I thank you that your word will prevail and not return to your void. So bless your people, O God, as a result of their willingness to hear the dialogue concerning your word, and let the spirit of conviction, which is your Holy Spirit, arise and quicken their mortal bodies for the perfection for which you were called. You alone will get all praise, honor, and glory for the things that have happened tonight. It is in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do. Because greater is he that lives within you than he that's within the world. This is LeVon Brill, and founder of Urban Glory Campaigns and host of Rhema Remnant Radio. God bless you and good night.